man. I got the mic, but I guess I got to give it up, don't I? Darn.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's hard to leave from that. Oh, Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity to minister your word just for a few moments on the subject of the tithes and offerings and giving and receiving. And I thank you, Lord, that as the word goes forth today, your word brings light and it brings understanding to the simple. So I thank you, Lord, that it would bring light to people's lives and understanding to their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. That song, for the battle is not your battle, but the battle is the Lord's. You know, it was about a week ago. If you turn to Romans 4, this is going to be the only scripture that's not in my message. Sorry, sound. Romans 4, I'm going to jump around a little bit. Verse 3. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And then down in 17 and 18, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him who had believed even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, and who against all hope believed in hope, that he might be the father of many nations. You know, at that point, Abraham was told that he would be the father of many nations, but he wasn't the father of many nations then. But when you call those things that are not as though they were, it brings you to another level of faith and belief in God. And then verse 19, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body. The next verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God. You know, I was in a place about a week and a half ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, and we were sitting in our room, and I looked at my wife, and I said, can I honestly say that right now in my life that I can believe God against all hope, that I would stagger not at the promises of God? And at that point, you know, I'd been to a Bible school where it's faith preaching, and that's all you get. And when you're there, I mean, if you're not walking by faith, you're just... there's problems. Okay, so, you know, but being here, I never thought it would happen, but you see how you can kind of get a little stagnant in the word and get a little stagnant in believing God. So I sat there and I said, am I fully persuaded that what God has promised, he'll be able to perform it? Am I fully persuaded? And at the time, I could honestly say I wasn't. And I don't know if it took that moment, but we were in a meeting a couple nights later, and I brought that up to the team we were meeting with, and I said, I'm at this place. I feel stuck. I don't know what's going on. I don't know that I can believe God at that level right now. And it was at that point where within just several days, things started breaking open. And, you know, we were believing God for a place to live on our own, and within 2 days from that moment, from that meeting, admitting that to the people that are around me and saying, I don't know that I can be at that place, things started happening. It was that moment where I had to check my heart. I had to get my heart right before God. And then, you know, it was that same week. I had texted somebody that I had owed some money to. They had a business, and it was a business advisory group, and I felt it was wrong. We were a little behind on the invoice, and I felt it was wrong that I was not communicating with them. So I texted them, and I've got the text messages right here because I got to read it, or I don't want to mess it up. So I texted them. I just said, I just want you to know I'm sorry. I should have been communicating with you, but I'm going to have the debt paid in full within a month. Well, he texted me back. Hi, Caleb. I love you, bro. All is well. and all is forgiven. I'm sowing it back in full to you. Paid in full. You owe nothing. I love you, and you are breaking through in Jesus' name. And, you know, when you get that text, it puts you in a place of, you feel like it's God literally talking to you. It's literally the voice of God just saying to you, hey, bro, I love you. All is forgiven. All is well. And it puts you into a place of just humility. But I had to get my heart right. There were things I had to deal with. There were things I had to. So, you know, the seed time and harvest, when you are a sower and a tither, you have rights and you have favor with God. That is not my offering message. I wanted to share that because we now have our own place to live in right now, and we've got some debt eliminated. So that's a testimony leading into the offering message. Amen. Genesis 12. Genesis 12, verse 2 and 3. It says, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And, you know, to the people that say, well, that's Old Testament, that's not for today. Well, then go to Galatians 3, okay? Go to Galatians 3, verses 8 through 9. And this confirms the word. And the Bible says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let a thing be established. So, this is all the voice of God, but different writers. So we are going to establish this. Verse 8, Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. You know, I read that. I was actually listening to a podcast the other day, and it said that in Job 36, verse 11, says, you'll have days in prosperity. If you obey the Lord, you'll have days in prosperity and years in pleasure. And so I was reading this in Genesis and Galatians, and I wanted to, well, how blessed was Abraham? You know, obviously the Bible says that he was rich in livestock and cattle and sheep and goats. And it says that he was rich in silver and gold, and he had plenty of camels. So I'm looking at all this, and I went down a rabbit hole. According to a 2013 financial comparison, these are the costs of all these things that he had. Just one. Lambs were $122. Goats were $76. Camels were $1,525. A cow was $534. A bull was $1,220. A calf was $328. And a talent of silver would have been worth over $11,000. And a talent of gold would have been worth over $915,000. So this is in our day and age of money. That way we can compare it. So I started to think, well, that's just one. And he said he was rich with many of these things. So you have to wonder, if one talent of gold is $915,000, you say, well, how much is too much? You know? So, you know, so what I'm getting at is, if we are blessed with Abraham, if we are the seed of Abraham, if we're in the covenant that came from Abraham, then we should have that in our lives. And not just for us, but we should be able to give to our local church. We should be able to give to people in need. We should have this. The Christianity today tells you that Christians should be broke. Okay? Well, you should live below your means and have a car that just barely gets you to work and to church. No. Why am I supposed to be less than what the world is having? Why? If I am God's child, if I am the seed of Abraham, why am I supposed to sacrifice these things? It doesn't make sense. But the question is, can you lay it down like Abraham did? Can you lay it down? Can you believe God that against all hope, he'll raise your son from the dead? When there was no proof at this point in time that anyone had ever been raised from the dead. So he gets told to lay Isaac on the altar. Can you lay your son on the altar? Can you lay that thing on the altar? Can you lay something that's holding you on the altar? Are you able to let go of it? Are you able to loose it? or does it have a hold on you? Because Abraham believed God, that God would raise his son from the dead. And Abraham believed against all hope, and he staggered not at the promises of God. So we must have that kind of faith that Abraham had. Like I said in Job 36, verse 11, it says, if they obey and serve them, serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. That's a word for us today. But the issue is, can you lay it all down like Abraham did? What has your heart? Does God have your heart? Does he have your heart to where when he says, you need to give this, you need to do this, you need to get rid of that? Does he have your heart where you say, okay, Lord, it's yours? Because nothing I have is mine. Nothing I have is mine. And the Lord knows that, because there's things that he's asked me to give him, and I've given it, and I'll give it again. So is your life in line with the word? Are you able to lay it all down? A scripture we go to often for seed time and harvest, but 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. And I'm going to end here. It's not going to be some super long offering message. Sorry. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. Actually, we're going to start in verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Had we not sowed seed in the ground and known that we have tithers' rights and a giver's right, would that debt have been canceled? I don't know. What I do know is I've sowed, and I've stood on the promises of God. And I've said, Lord, your word says this. Your word says that he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. And I need a harvest of bountiful right now. Amen. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. You know, I heard Jesse Duplantis say one time where it says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart. And he said, you know, that really means that before you even walk in the doors of the church, you should have purposed in your heart what you're giving that day. It shouldn't be they're doing an offering message, What do I have today? You should know before you walk in, God, what do you want me to give today? What is my best gift today? What is the best thing that I can give you today? This is not the tithe. The tithe is God's. Okay, when I see my paycheck, only 90% of that actually belongs to me, because that 10% is God's. I don't look at it as mine. I don't even hold on to it. I don't say, well, you know, we got groceries. Let me pay for the groceries first. I'll give the tithe later. No, the tithe is God's immediately. Verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. You, like I said, this is not, this giving and receiving, this sowing and reaping is not just for you. It's so that you have enough for every good work, that you may abound for every good work, that you have all sufficiency in all things. And then in verse 10 it says, this is where I'm going to end. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. When you plant a seed, it never comes back the way you planted it. It always comes back more. It always comes back more. And that scripture right there says that he that multiplies seed, your seed sown, but he ministers seed to the sower. You can say, God, I want seed today. I want seed, because it says he gives seed to the sower. So if you ask him for seed, he'll give you seed. There's no question. It's not, God doesn't say, well, you know, I actually don't want you to sow today. It's not a good time. I know you got your phone bill due and your car insurance is due and your house payment is due. So you know what? Just today, let's take some time off. No, when you give, you have to stand on the word of God that says you will multiply my seed sown. You will provide all of these bills, all of these things that are due. Hallelujah. And it says he ministers bread for your food. So you never have to worry about God providing your food. If you don't have groceries, bless God. The Lord will provide three separate people to provide groceries for you in a matter of 48 hours. And the reason I can say that is because it's happened to us. And we went from an empty fridge and an empty freezer to overflowing. So we're going into a time of overflow. And as you sow today, this seed, you know, it's perpetual harvest. As you sow every Sunday, as you sow throughout the week, as you sow, it starts to come to a point where it's a perpetual harvest. It's over and over again. And it'll continue to come in Jesus' name. So, okay. All right. Ushers. Oh.
I'm going to have Pastor Kirk come. He's got a testimony right along with you. You stay here.
Excellent. Excellent word. Hi, friends. And I just wanted to give testimony to the Lord that I just have to show you some examples of exactly what you're saying, Caleb. And I'm just like bursting at the seams inside listening to you, okay? And when we built, I've been at our church for 23 years. We started with nothing there and built our first building. The first building that we started to build was about $700,000. And we got near the end of the project and we were short $70,000. This is just one of these examples, I got to tell you. We decided as an elder team, we're going to sow out of our need instead of out of our excess. We actually took and prayed about an offering. We gave it to another church, a Baptist church that was building their building. And somehow in the next 1 month of time, 4 weeks, some of it, I mean, a bunch came in, money came in, some of the requirements disappeared, and I don't know how the rest got taken care of. And so I just want to give testimony. That's just one. This year, another one was that when we built an expansion on, we were building a $3 million expansion. And we as an elder team were praying into it. And the one night we felt the Lord say, write a check out for $1 million. And we're like, okay, Lord, how do we do that? Okay. And so we continued praying into it. And I actually then with the elders, I took a piece of paper, drew a check on there, rated that for $1 million. Okay. What happened was the Lord brought a family into our church who didn't give us $1 million, they gave us $2 million. And we were able to do something that we just is off the charts. Then this year, this is fresh off the press, this year we've been building a new youth center building, and we have been running up against all kinds of issues with the people who review the building permit. Nobody's ever had that problem, I don't think. But and so we battled for 9 months over this thing. And we decided, okay, first of all, we were going to do a Jericho march around where the building's going to be, calling those things that are not as though they were, okay? And within 2 days, we got approval for that. Then on top of that, there was a time during about the last, I don't know, 3-4 months where somehow it slipped that we tithe to our network because we always believe in tithing up. You know, leaders tithe up to who they're accountable to. So it slipped off my radar to, I forgot giving tithe for about 3 or 4 months. And all of a sudden I realized it and I gasped and I talked to my wife about it and we decided we're going to give it all back in return. And the building project was having problems getting enough money. And we were having some problems getting enough money. So again, we took from our need, not our excess, we gave into the church project and everything. We gave it as our tithe, where we usually tithe. And within a few days, where we needed more funds, all of a sudden we had more in our account than we just couldn't even imagine. And the church suddenly had one gift of $20,000 and then another gift for missions of $11,000 in the same week. So amen, praise the Lord. So I just had to tell you that, and I could give you many, many other accounts. So what you are saying is a reality, okay? We may not comprehend it in our head sometimes, But we got to get out of our head. We got to get into the heart, because it says a man believes with his heart. We don't believe with our head so much, because that's where the battle is, you know. So I just wanted to bless all of you with those testimonies.
Amen. And what you make happen for others, God will make happen for you. So when you're sowing into the, you know, if you need property, you sow into people that are building their property right now. If you need a car, you sow into somebody that just bought a car. And so there's ways to sow to reap a harvest in that area. Amen. So ushers. Oh, offering envelopes, yes, are in front of the chair. If you want to give that way through check or cash. There's Venmo, which I believe is NFC Give. QR code for online, mailing address, New Freedom Church, P.O. Box 164, Church Hill, Maryland, 21623. You know, for those here or watching online, the Lord might be telling you to do something. And, you know, you may not have it on you right now, but there's a way you can loose that thing this week. So if the Lord's speaking to you to do something, mail it in, drop it off at the church, do whatever you got to do. But if God's telling you to do something, make sure you're obedient to do it. Because you will spend your days in pleasure and your years in prosperity. Amen. If you are given with an offering envelope, do me a favor. Just rip that top tab off with the sticky part. Because when people go to open the envelopes later, everything will be stuck together. So if you could rip those off, that'd be great. Ushers. Thank you for sharing that. That blessed me. You know, sometimes it can get frustrating because you're not seeing it when you think you should be seeing it. And then when everything opens, you're just like, what the heck? And it's just, it can't be anything but God. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for the seed sown. I thank you that just as the woman that poured out all of her oil, and she gave her very best gift, I thank you as people have given their best gift in their tithes today, that you would be faithful to your word to multiply the seed sown today. Thank you for a hundredfold harvest on every side, a return that is so great they don't have room enough to receive it all. We thank you that your word goes forth today. Angels, bring in the needs for the people from the north, south, east, and west. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. How good is God? I could just sit there and just receive the ministry and the gifting and the calling on these men of God. And even through worship, it intrigues me that giving is something that God has placed in us, because Jesus was the ultimate giver. And the Father was the ultimate giver. He gave his best, and he's designed us to be givers. And giving is beyond finances. Giving is giving love, sowing patience, sowing long-suffering. It's helping people. Amen? Amen. Well, the Lord's got something good. He's not done yet. Everybody say, he's not done. All right, because he has more for you. Amen. He has more, because when there's seed time and harvest. So when you sow, and you're sowing the word, you can be expecting a harvest throughout the whole service this morning. Amen. And then you can expect a harvest tomorrow because of what you sowed today. And when you sow tomorrow, you can expect a harvest. So the harvest is continual. It says seed time and harvest. What does that tell us? That tells us that there's times to sow, but it never says there's certain times of harvest. The harvest is a constant God moving and taking care of you daily. Does that make sense? Yeah. Amen. You sow and there's seed time, but harvest is continual. Yeah. Continually God blessing you, God pouring out for you, God protecting you, God making a way when it seems like there's no way. Amen. That's the God that we serve. And today, I want to talk to you today about the ability to receive. And this goes right along with it. Because when you give, you should expect to receive. It would be very wrong to just, because I believe there's many people that feel like when they give to God, it's wrong to expect anything in return. But the Bible tells otherwise. There would be no harvest if it was just sowing. If it was just planting and seed with no harvest, there would be no expectation. If the Father sowed Jesus into the earth to redeem mankind, but we never had the hope of eternal life, why would he even sow him to begin with? Because there would be no return on investment. There is always a return on investment with God. Always. Always. And money isn't some creepy, weird thing. Amen. It is a tool that the wealth of the wicked is going to be laid up for the just. God has given us the ability to use money, to store money for his glory. Amen. Glory to God. So money's not a bad thing. It's the love of it. It's putting it above God that makes it wrong. Amen. And that's not the money's fault. That's our fault for making a decision to put money above God, to serve money above God, or to put money as our God, or material things as our God. But when it flows in order and God is number one, he'll take money and he'll make sure you're set. He'll make sure every need that you have is met. You will receive. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, today's a great day. There's expectancy in the air. There's expectancy for healing. There's expectancy for wholeness. I sense it. I feel it in the atmosphere. You're like, well, you don't look any different than anybody else. It's in the Spirit. Yeah. It's in the Spirit. God reveals things by his Spirit. Yeah. Amen. So you'll receive today, no matter what your past week looked like, no matter what the bills you got last week, no matter what somebody said about you last week, even if you got a pink slip last week, guess what? God can make up the difference and have you a new job this week. Yes. Amen. That's the God that we serve. When you trust in him, you should expect to receive from him. Yes. Amen. It is a guarantee. It is like gravity, the law of gravity. God made that. He can certainly come forth with the harvest and what you have need of. If you go through pain, if you have pain in your body, today's your day to be healed. Today's the Lord's day to heal your body. Amen. You shall receive healing today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you're battling in your mind, if there's thoughts coming your way like, I don't know why I'm even here. My wife drugged me here today. Or my husband drugged me here today. Or you're a young person, you're like, my parents just forced me to come to church today. God's got something for you today. There's divine appointments every day. And you shall receive today. Amen. Everybody say, I'm a receiver.
I'm a receiver.
Amen. When you say that, you're confessing and you're unlocking your heart to say, hey, what God has for me today, I'm going to receive. Because if you confess I'm not a receiver, you're going to prophesy exactly what you're going to get. Nothing. So I'm a receiver. I'm going to get something today. Colossians 2, chapter 1. Colossians 2, chapter 1. I'm going to start out with Paul here because we sung about it, we talk about it. You know, people overemphasize it at times, you know, trials and struggles and things like that. But do you know that trials and struggles, they're not dictated what level you're on? Everybody has a trials. Everybody has trials. Everybody has struggles. And Paul talks even here as an apostle, he had some struggles. Amen. The government has struggles. Amen. Fathers have struggles. Children have struggles. Pastors have struggles. Evangelists have struggles. No matter what level you're in, you'll have trials. You'll have temptation. You'll have struggle that you have to deal with. It's not the struggle that you focus on. It's Him you focus on, and He gets you through the struggle or the trial. All right? You shall receive today in Jesus' name, because you're going to see and get a perspective from Him, and He's going to deliver you and walk you through. Amen. So don't look at your struggle. Look at the one that will deliver you from it. And when you do that, you receive from Him, and then you operate and walk out and walk through. So it doesn't matter what it looks like, you can still receive from heaven by faith. When you put your eyes on Him, you shall receive. You're a receiver. So here I'm going to talk about Paul. Paul shares with the Colossians in verse 1, "For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh." So Paul's saying, he's praying. He's concerned about the people, the ones that he hasn't been able to get to physically. Okay? So there's a concern. Leaders in ministry, pastors have concerns for people that miss church. Amen. We're concerned about the ones here, but the ones that can't make it also weigh on us because they're part of the body. And when part of the body's missing, you know it. I don't have to get super simple for you to understand. If you miss a body part, you know it. All right? If something gets lopped off, you know it. That's a terrible analogy. Scratch that out. Sorry, Facebook. But I want you to understand that it grieves the heart of pastors and leaders when someone's missing. And the enemy will get in there, start reasoning why. Why are they? Is it something I did? Is it something I said? Why are they missing? Because you know that the fulfillment and God has something for them. And when they're not here, it weighs on you that they're not going to get all that God has for them. And it breaks your heart when people miss church. And you look at your, you just did a great offering. I mean, you won our money. No. We want you to be blessed. We want you to be healed and whole. That's why we want to see you. Because we know God has something for you. It's not about us. It's about Him. And what He's going to do for you. Amen. It's part of the body. It's body ministry. Amen. So Paul's sharing his feelings here in verse 1. It goes on in verse 2. "That their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ." That's a very broad verse right there that says an awful lot. But what he's saying is, I'm looking at the heart of the people, the love for the people. He cares about what they're going through, and he wants them to attain the riches and full assurance of God the Father in His Son Jesus. Because he knows Paul isn't the one that's going to bring the blessing to them. Paul isn't the one that's going to carry them in faith. Paul isn't the one. Paul is not their Lord or their Savior. But it's the Father and the Son that he's pointing them to, because that's where the true riches are. That's where they can receive from. That's where they can gain wisdom, knowledge, understanding to the affairs of life. That's where the freedom is. That's where the victory is. And Paul's heart is saying, I'm in conflict when I'm not seeing you, because I know God has something very good for you, and he wants you to receive it. Amen. That's the heart of a leader. Amen. And we have a special day today. And this sermon isn't necessarily about it. But as a leader, your heart grieves for people. I should say, as a minister, your heart grieves for people. Because there may be some leaders out there that have business that could care less about people. All right? I'm saying, as a spiritual leader and as a pastor, your heart wants the best for people. And when they hurt, you hurt. Did you hear me? When you're hurting, it hurts. It hurts. Why? Why does it hurt? Because it's the body. We're one. And when we deny God or we deny the Holy Spirit, it grieves the Holy Spirit. Even God himself grieves. Even Jesus wept. Why? Because he has a heart for people. He had a friend, Lazarus, that died. It grieved him. People don't look at, they look at God as up here and them as down here. And there's a great, great span between. And God doesn't understand what they're going through. God doesn't get what I'm going through. He doesn't see what I have need. He doesn't understand. Oh, he does. He understands more than you know because he created you. And he knows even every hair on your head. He knows what you have need of. And he wants to bless you and give it to you. You shall receive today in Jesus' name. But notice, it's the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. That is why we meet on Sunday morning. That's part of it. To interact with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. To interact, to know them better. Man, I pray that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, the Bible says in Philippians. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection. Verse 3, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and steadfastness of your faith in Christ. What was the warning? He gave a warning of persuasive words. Remember that. We're going to get to that later. But he said, for I am absent, yet I am with you in spirit. Did you know, even if you're not in church on Sunday morning, that the Spirit doesn't leave you? That God doesn't let you go? There isn't less Spirit out there than there is in here. There's just a corporate anointing in here that allows a element of the Spirit to flow differently than out there. But it's not less Spirit. You're not less saved out there. All right? You're not less anointed out there. There's just a gifting and a calling when the body comes together. There's a special anointing and giftings come forth as a body. Amen. But Jesus doesn't leave you when you walk out the door on Sunday afternoon. All right? Or if you can't make it to church, you're not less saved. God's not judging you for that. But I'm telling you, there's a blessing in the house of God. And it's good to see you today. Amen. There's a blessing here. But notice he said, rejoicing to see your good order and steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Steadfastness in faith is the key to receiving. It is the very key to receiving is steadfast. What does that mean? That is faith that is unwavering. Faith that stands when everything else. Seeing things that be not as though they are. That's steadfast faith. Trusting in God, even though no one around you trusts God. Believing in God when no one around you is believing God. Confessing Jesus when nobody else is confessing Jesus. Reading your Bible when everybody else wants to watch TV. Steadfast faith. That example after steadfast faith is saying, I'm trusting God no matter what it looks like, feels like, or sounds like. Steadfast. That is the way to keep receiving from God continually. Not the little spurty blessings. You understand? That's terrible. The little spritzes, like here a blessing. Let's wait 6 months and then there's another blessing. No, steadfast faith is steadfast blessing. Yeah. It's continually. It's constant. Glory to glory. Faith to faith. It doesn't waver. It's not double-minded. The Bible says, don't be double-minded. Do you know what double-minded really means? Two-spirited. Two-spirited. And where there's two spirits, it does not go well. You waver in everything. You're unstable in all your ways. That's not God. Steadfast faith gives you the ability to stand when nobody else will stand. People make fun of people that carry their Bible or read their Bible or change their schedule to make sure they go to church. The ones who know the blessing of unity in the body, coming together, They do that because they know that's steadfast faith. They know that's part of staying in the blessing of God, is staying in the family. That's part of it, along with a whole bunch of other things. But steadfast faith is the key, and everything in this world is trying to steal that seed of faith. The enemy is. Even there's family members that are used. Even people in the church. Oh my, here I go. Even people in the church want to shipwreck your faith. The enemy can use people within the church, unfortunately. It's sad. There's a lot of church hurt. There's a lot of people that have been nailed by people in the church. And it's sad. It's a shame. And it should never happen. But it does. And it's not all going to go away today. Because I'm not in control of it. And God is, he's given people free will. Even ministers have missed it. And done things they shouldn't have done. And brought church hurt to people. But church hurt should not keep you from pressing into God. Because the church is not your God, neither is the minister. Amen. If the minister messes up, that's between him and God. That should not derail your faith and your trust in your God. That's why everybody needs a personal relationship. You can't hang on the coattails of your husband or your wife or your children's faith. That's why it's a struggle when I see people, they'll bring their kids and drop them off at church and go live like the world and want their kids to do better, but yet they're not sowing what they need to sow to keep that steadfast faith. So they put, that's why their children get double-minded, because the parent says one thing and does something else. And then they blame the kid for being all messed up. Don't shoot the messenger. Amen. Truth? Don't look at me like that. It's true. It's very true. Parents will drop their kids off at school, wanting the school to raise their kids. And then the school does whatever it wants to do. And then you got to deal with a messed up kid. What country uses the most medication out of every country in the world? First world country uses the most medication. Does that show a problem? Absolutely it does. Mental disorders are higher than they've ever been. Medicine is just wild. Everybody, you got a problem, we got a solution. And you listen to about the pill and you're like, oh, the side effects. Lord have mercy. God, this may kill you. Sign me up. You got to really pray whether you want to take it or not. Do I want the help for something minor, or do I want to possibly have a 1% of dying because I take it? Am I right? Everybody watches TV. I suggest how much you watch. Amen. But it's true. The reliance is not on God, it's on man. It's easier to receive from what we see naturally than it is to receive from him, because it takes faith to receive from him. We have to look to him. We have to lay ourselves down and believe him. And it's easier to just believe what's around us, isn't it? Hey, if somebody tells me something, I can believe that. But believing by faith is believing before you see it. If you see it, it's not faith. You got Thomas faith going on. I want to see your hands, Jesus. I want to see your side, Jesus. Then I'll believe. That's not faith. That's not the God kind of faith. And that's not going to get you receiving from heaven. Faith is believing, being fully persuaded. Faith is, Hebrews 11:1, if you want to turn there. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is something you can't see in the natural. You got to see with your spiritual eyes. You got to see with your heart. That's why salvation, if anybody here that does not know Jesus and wants to know Jesus, Jesus may not come stand next to me. I've never saw Jesus literally. Never saw Jesus. I've never seen an angel literally. Some people have, but I haven't. But I believe in angels and I believe in Jesus, because by faith, he's my Lord and he's my Savior. And it's given me a hope. Some of you may not have heard, but when I was growing up, I had a fear of dying. I mean, a legitimate fear of dying. Like lose sleep at night, fear of dying. Because I didn't know after 60, 70, 80, 90 years, what's next? Well, then I'm going to live like the world. I'll drink, I'll party, I'll do what, I'll spend all my money because I only have however many days here on earth and then it's over. And I could not find an answer and it tormented me. And then I found the answer and his name was Jesus. And it changed everything. Now I don't have to live like the world. I'm living the way he wants me to live because I have an eternal mansion. I have rewards in heaven for eternity that I'm going to dance and I'm going to worship Jesus all the time. So I'm just worshiping Jesus the best I can now, practicing for eternity.
Amen.
Amen. And I sleep like a baby. Amen. Ask my wife. I may even snore just because I'm deep. She'll watch TV and she'll talk to me and all of a sudden she's talking to herself. I'm gone. Sleep like a baby. I have no fear of dying. I could leave here and something happened. I'm not confessing that, but something happened and I die. I'm in perfect peace with God.
Amen.
Perfect peace with, because I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior.
Amen.
And when you do that, it changes everything.
Yeah.
People say, well, I've accepted the Lord, but there's no demonstration. There's no fruit. There's a problem there. The fear was removed out of my life instantly. We had a gentleman here two, three weeks ago. Alcoholism just gripping his life. The power of God touched his body. He literally felt the presence of God come in and the alcoholism and the desire blow out the other side.
Hallelujah.
That in the moment, this wasn't a process. This was a deliverance that took place. Amen. It's real. God is real. You have to see it with your spiritual eyes to get a hold of what God has. It's not a, well, that's good for that person. I don't know if it'll happen for me. I'm telling you, Jesus died for everybody. Amen. He didn't pick and choose who he died for. He didn't say, God, I'll only go to Jerusalem because the Jews are the only ones worth it. No, he came for the Gentiles too. He came for you and he came for me. He came for your children. He came for your grandchildren.
Yes.
Amen. God, Jesus died for all. And his payment is more than enough.
Yes.
He doesn't have to come back and die again. Don't put Jesus in the manger. Don't put him back on the cross. He was delivered from death, hell, and the grave. He doesn't have to come back. There was enough power there to deliver all mankind for eternity. And he's coming back again soon. Amen. And if you do not know Jesus, I encourage you to get right with the Lord. Amen. I would encourage you to get right. What does that have to do? I'm getting there. Amen. Amen. Back to the scripture. Let me read verse 5 again. It says, for though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and steadfastness of your faith. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. As you receive, there's something more to just receiving from Jesus. There's more than just asking him into your life and getting what some call fire insurance. Do you know what that means? Has anybody ever heard that before? I'm just going to ask Jesus in this day today so I don't have to go to hell. That's fire insurance. But notice, there's a walk from that day forward. And when you understand the walk, there's a receiving in this earth that you don't have to wait for heaven and the blessing of heaven. Heaven came down and the blessing is here. And you can walk in victory all the days of your life. You don't have to wait. When people say, I'm telling you, I'm going to say this because I need to say it. Amen. Because the Spirit's on me to say it. People say, oh, well, the Lord took that person because he needed them. God created everything without any of us here. So he can handle everything in between. He doesn't need your aunt or your grandparent in heaven to make heaven better. Heaven is beautiful in its own right.
Yeah.
Amen. Or, well, anyway, yeah, Jesus, let's keep going. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus, Lord Jesus Christ, In Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. What does walking in Him mean? Because that sounds weird. How do you walk and talk with Jesus? How can you be in Him? It's because you receive Him and He lives in you and you obey and do what He says to do. That's walking in Him. You know, when I was a young child, we had more snow than we get these days. Maybe this is the winter that we get hammered, huh? Who knows? Some of you are cursing me now. I don't mind snow. But there used to be drifts when I was at the farm, and it'd blow around the barn. And it could get pretty deep. And my dad would walk out there, and I'd try to follow his footsteps. Because why? It was easier walking where he walked than trying to make my own place. And I realized that if I didn't follow him closely and the wind was blowing, his footsteps were gone. They got covered up. And the Lord spoke to me about this. Walking with Christ is your step with step with him. When you see hikers try to climb a mountain in the snow, they're in a line. They follow each other. Why? It's hard on the first one, but the rest of them, it's easier because they're step for step with the one ahead of them. And when you put Jesus the center of your life, in the center of your heart, you don't want to step anywhere outside of where Jesus is stepping. Hear me. You want him front and center. You want him right there. And the Bible says, I believe in Proverbs or Psalms. Let's go there. Psalms 37:23. I don't believe this is on the overhead, but we have a great sound team. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. They got to be instant in season and out of season, just like all of us do. Psalms 37, I'm going to start in 23. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Any good men in here?
Amen.
Oh, there's a couple. Amen. Good man, it's talking about women too, so don't get offended. There's no offense here, okay? So women, you're included, all right? All the women said amen.
Amen.
The steps of a good person are ordered by the Lord.
Amen.
Having the Lord order your steps causes every step to be good.
Amen.
That's what that's saying. So when you step out of line and out of the will of God, you're stepping into a place that's opening the door for the enemy.
That's true.
It's opening the door for a curse. It's opening the door for struggle. When you step somewhere where the Lord does not have you, if you step away from the Lord, if you step away from church, if you step away from his will and what he's called you to do, you open yourself up and your life starts to become a struggle instead of a victory. Remember that. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I see it so clearly. There's times in my life I've done it where the Lord's telling me to do it. I'm walking with the Lord, and then I get busy with tasks. Don't read my Bible quite as I show. You say, well, you're a pastor. It happens.
Yeah.
Come on. It happens. It doesn't matter how many reverends or PhD you have on the back of your name. You still got to devote your life to God. You still got to pray. You still got to take your time in devotion. The anointing and the presence of God isn't an automatic, church. The gifting coming forth, my ability to speak to you isn't just because I think it's a good thing. I study to show thyself approved. You have to work at it. You have to take time. You have to get your steps in line with Jesus's. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his ways. So there's delight when you're walking with the Lord.
Yeah.
What does that mean? There's peace and there's joy.
Yeah.
You receive heaven when you walk with heaven.
Yeah.
Heaven came down, and when you walk and talk with Jesus, you walk in delight.
Yeah.
Every day's a good day.
Amen.
Just some are better than others. Your perspective on life is different. You don't wake up, oh, I wonder what today's going to be. I wonder what my wife's thinking today. She's getting ready. She's going to give me my honey-do list. Guess what? The Lord will help you with the honey-do list. Amen. He'll help you with all these things. Wives, you better pick up the pace if none of these men have a honey-do list. Come on. Man, you got some work to do. Verse 24, though he, this is the best part. So it's not just being a good man or walking in his delights. Watch this. We talked about struggle or trial. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. You have to be close enough for the Lord to reach out to you. If you're not walking with the Lord, you're walking away from the Lord. And he cannot help you in your struggle because you're not allowing him to. When Peter stepped out of the boat and walked on the water and he looked at the things around him and he started to sink, Jesus didn't say, tough luck, Peter. Swim as hard as you can to get back to the boat. No, he lifted him right up. He came in. Why? Because his faith was on the Lord. He was walking because the Lord said, come to me. So Peter said, I'll come. And everybody makes fun of Peter for stepping out of the boat and sinking. Everybody preaches about him sinking. But what about the rest of the disciples in the boat that never even got off their butt to even try to step out on the water? So woe unto the people that make fun of the ones that are trying to do the will of the Lord when you're not even doing anything. Wow, was that exciting? Man, the joy just entered the building. Now, I'm just trying to help you out here. When you walk close with the Lord, you're concerned about him, what he's doing, what he wants you to do. And the distractions, you don't have to listen to what everybody else is saying. You understand what I'm saying? You just have to listen to what he's saying. I'm just starting to learn this, by the way. Amen. It's helped me listen to how my wife speaks to me because I'm listening to him. It helps how I speak to my wife because I'm listening to him. It helps me direct how I interact with my kids. Am I perfect? Absolutely not. My family can attest to that. But I'm walking with the one who is. And he's helping me and he's guiding me. And when I trip or when I fall, he's right there to help me. That tells us something, that not everything is going to be perfect all the time. Because you can walk with the Lord in verse 23, and it says, though he fall. So you can trip. You can trip up, but you're not going to fall. You're not going to be cast down. You're not going to break down and be utterly done. That's why there's repentance. That's why there's things that the Holy Spirit can come and convict you and help you, guide you, direct you. Amen. Because we can miss it. Okay, none of you have missed it. You guys are perfect. Maybe... Let's be real about this. Christianity is a real thing. Yeah. Walking with Jesus is real. It's not a game. If I realized in my life, when I was not walking with the Lord, I was walking with the world, or I was walking with the enemy. And everything I tried to do, I mean, I'm pretty physically fit. You know, you hit 40, things go downhill a little bit. But all in all, I'm pretty good shape. Pretty good shape. Amen, there's room for improvement, but pretty good shape. Where was I going with this? I tried to do everything in my own strength, in my own power. And as you get older, you think you're wiser, but your physical body may not be thinking you can do what you used to do. I deer hunt a lot. Some of you love deer hunting, some of you may not like it at all. But I enjoy it. It's something I enjoy doing. I used to go way up in the tree with a portable. Now, I don't go as far as I used to anymore because my wisdom says I'm not as agile as I used to be. So it's the Lord has helped me realize that there's limitations. Just I'll enjoy and do what he wants me to do and my hobby, but I'm going to do it as the Lord tells me to do it, not how it was how I used to be, you know. See, the Bible does tell us that. What does it say? It says, when I was young, I did young things. But now that I am older, I think and do as older. Meaning, wisdom. Yeah. Wisdom. Amen. Though I fall short not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds me with his hand. I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken. Yeah. Ooh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. That it doesn't matter if you're young as a child or if you're elderly or old in your hundreds. Guess what? The righteous are not forsaken. You can walk with the Lord all the days of your life and every need will be met for you. God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. That means when we walk with Jesus and talk with Jesus, we have nothing to fear. The Lord is with us.
Amen.
Though everything comes against us, though there's an accuser of the brethren, though the enemy seeks like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, when you're walking with the Lord, you got the one that's going to handle everything out there. I once heard a story of a bear, and this is a story. I don't know if it's real or not. But there's a cub out in the wild, and a mountain lion came in front of it. And, you know, grizzly bears, they can handle things like a mountain lion when they're old. But when they're a young one, they can't handle it. So it does the best it can. It gets on its back legs, and the mountain lion's like, you know, you're a joke. I'm going to eat you kind of thing, right? Well, all of a sudden, when it stood up like that, the mountain lion backed off. And it's like, wow. You know, it set out its little roar. You know, that was terrible. Little cub roar, right? Don't judge. It's all right. That's my cub roar. Amen. So it roared. And then it didn't realize it, though. But why did the mountain lion back up? It wasn't scared of the cub. Mama bear was behind it. And when mama bear showed up, mountain lion had no power, but the cub did not know it. It lived and did based off of what it knew and did the best it could, but mama was behind. That's how Jesus is for you. You do your best and God will do the rest. Don't ever allow someone or something to dictate your faith or your walk with the Lord, because you come to the table with the best you have, and the best isn't good enough because we all fall short. But with a Savior, we're more than enough.
Amen.
We're more than enough. So don't let the things around you, even though they're bigger, there may be a job. There's somebody, I feel it in my spirit, there's somebody here that's looking for it. They're looking for a new job, but they don't think they're qualified. Trust the Lord. Watch what he'll do. He'll bypass somebody else that's more qualified to make room for you.
Amen.
Amen. There's going to be a testimony about that.
Amen.
I'm telling you right now. Amen. So if you're believing for something and it doesn't look promising for you, put your promise in the one above.
Yeah.
And watch what he'll do.
Amen.
Amen? Watch what he'll do. God is a good God. Amen? Everybody say good God.
Good God.
Amen. So we walk in him. Acts 17:28 says, we live and move and have our being. Mm-hmm. Amen. So when we live and move and have our being, that's everything about us. So what I'm getting at here is when we walk in step with Jesus, everything works out in favor for us.
Amen.
It was said in the offering, we will have favor with God and man.
Yeah.
I know my sermon, the Spirit's leading me a little off of my topic. So just run with me, okay? Because there's people in here that have needs of things, and the Holy Spirit's working it out for your good. Amen. So my sermon's being diverted. Amen. For your sake. Amen. For your blessing. Because there's been times where many people feel like they're doing their best and they feel like they're hitting a brick wall. That their best is not good enough. I'm telling you, the Lord, put it on the Lord. Because the Lord is going to move mountains for you. Amen. He's going to move mountains for you. He's going to shift things for you. You may be at a job. There's something, some of you are dealing with job issues. Even with a person at your job that is just irritating the heck out of you, driving you nuts, putting you down, belittling you, that you're not good enough. You're just one of those at the bottom of the food chain kind of places. I'm telling you, the Lord will fight your battle for you. And if you trust in him, he's going to move on behalf. And I tell people all the time, if you don't like your job, two things are going to happen. When you trust God, two things will happen. God will either lift you up and promote you in that place, or he's going to move you out of that place, or the person that's bothering you, he's going to move out. Because he will not let you be forsaken and be cast down.
Yeah.
He'll protect his children.
Yeah. Yeah.
So trust in him, and he's got you. He's got you. You'll receive from him. Amen. In him, walk in him. Verse 7, rooted and built up in him, or rooted and grounded in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Notice something there. Rooted and grounded, or rooted and built up in him, established in the faith. What has to be rooted and grounded? Your faith. When your faith is rooted and grounded, you won't be moved. It's that. It's like that scripture, what you built your house on. Do you build it out of brick, stone, rock, or do you build it out of sand? Because that's where your faith lies. When you put your faith in God, you build your house according to him. And the winds blow, the storms come, but your house still stands. Amen. That's what walking with the Lord will do for you. If where are roots at? They're in the ground, aren't they? You can't see the roots. Most of the time you cannot see the roots. But the roots are the ones that give life to everything else. And what something is rooted is the stability of it. So when your life is rooted and grounded in him, your life is stable above ground. Amen. Your life is stable in what people see around you. If there's instability in your life, and it's not persecution, all right, instability in your life, but not persecution, it's because there's something in the ground, the root, that needs to be dealt with. Because God makes things stable, and he makes things right and perfect. I'm telling you that to help you, that if there's areas in your life that are you're struggling in, tap into what the root of that is. Realize what it is. Ask the Lord. Talk to a minister. Talk to a seasoned person in the Lord. Have them pray with you to find out what it is, why there's an instability. What's causing it? Maybe it's a thought pattern. Maybe it's a lifestyle. Maybe it's an addiction. All these things come out of a root. Fruit just doesn't happen to happen. The tree does not produce fruit if it has no root. That tree is down and dead with no root. And if it has a very small root, the first thing that comes will blow it over and it's done. And many Christians do not put their roots down deep in the kingdom. And they just get fire insurance. And then the first thing that comes bounces them off and their faith is shipwrecked. That's what Paul's talking about here. You put your roots down, you'll be able to stand when everybody else is struggling. You shall stand in Jesus' name. You are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. More than a conqueror. Amen. I see a lot of conquerors out here. I see a lot of people that are going to overcome what their neighbor can't overcome. That there may have been a curse on their family, and everybody in their family from generations has been nailed by things. God is getting ready to deliver you, and you're going to be the first one to walk in victory in your family. Yeah. Glory to God. Nobody in my family was ever ministers. First one. That's not against my family. They just worked and did their thing. There were believers in my family. There wasn't a minister, though. Hey, there's a first time for everything. I'm telling you, if you don't know me, I was more like the black sheep of my family. I was the last one that would be a minister. My dear brother that's going to be licensed today grew up with me. And his life was similar to mine. If we went back to a high school reunion and said we're ministers of the gospel, most people in our class would be like, there is a God. Amen. God does mysterious things. The weak things of the world confound the wise. He takes the little things and lifts them up. Amen. He takes the mustard seed and makes a glorious tree that the birds live in. Amen. Who would have thought a dairy farmer that lived in fear is now a pastor of a church in his hometown? I went to Queen Anne's County High School. My dad went to Sellersville High School. We've been here a little while. God has a plan. So never neglect what the Lord speaks to you. Some of you are like, hey, there's potential for me. You better believe there is. You better believe there is. If God can use me, he can surely use you. The way I lived at college, I'm very surprised that I'm alive today. The dumb stuff I did. The drinking I did. dare I say it, the keg stands, all the things I did. Dumb, stupid, living like the world, heathen, didn't know God, didn't want to know God. Almost mad at God for no reason. All my own decisions. But the Lord found favor with me. The Lord saw something in me that he wanted to use me. And all I did was yield. All I did was yield. I have a lot more to this sermon, but I'm not going to get to it today because I feel the presence of God right here in my testimony, right here in my testimony about my life, how pitiful it was. I thought I was something, played lacrosse, went to college, got scholarship to play lacrosse at Duke University. Wow, big deal. I wouldn't have made it through class. I would have been one of those that they'd have to pay me through to get through. I'd have to pay my instructors because education wasn't my strong suit. Anybody can relate? Don't raise your hand. All of you are very intellectual and intelligent people. I'm just being real with you. God's a real God. And he does real things for real people. And each and every one of you, Jesus died for. If you could bow your heads and close your eyes. Glory be to God. If we could have some instrumental music. Some of you may be here for the first time. Some of you may be listening online for the first time. But there's a first time for everything. There's a first time to hear about Jesus. There's a first time to repent. There's a first time to be healed. No matter what it is, there's always a first time. And there's always a time of repentance. There's always a time of coming to the Lord till he returns. Then there'll be no other time. When Jesus returns for the church is leaving. Or when you breathe your last breath, that's it. Eternity's set. You can't change the outcome of eternity after the fact. Every head bow, every eye closed. Jesus came to set the captives free. Jesus came to deliver man from a sinful nature, from the wickedness of this world. Adam and Eve fell and sin entered in. And everyone after them was born into sin. Romans 3:23 says we sin and fall short of the glory of God. We all sin and fall short. Even from the president or leadership down to the newborn baby. We all sin and fall short. And there's a great, great span between God and man. But that span gets filled and secure and connected through Jesus Christ. You may be saying to yourself, well, my sin's not that bad. Sin is sin in God's eyes. And if you do not know Jesus, that's your only sin. That's your only sin is not knowing him. The Bible said that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. A heaven to gain and a hell to shun. But there's a price for sin. And someone's got to pay that price. And that person is Jesus. And without Jesus, you have to pay that price yourself. You have to stand before him and receive judgment for not receiving him. And that answer, the answer to that, the payment for that is hell. But Jesus loved you so much that he came and died so you don't have to go to a devil's hell. You don't have to live another day worried about whether you're going to hell or not. You can ask Jesus into your heart today. ask him into your heart today and seal the deal forever and know for sure that you're going to heaven. The Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It also says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. So I want to give you an opportunity to make a decision this morning. Say, you know what? Hell is not for me. That's not where I want to spend eternity. Jesus came to die for me to pay the price for my sin. You can say this prayer after me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Just say, dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose again. And I believe you're coming back again for me. Jesus, you are my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Every head bow, every eye closed still. Just keep your head bowed. If you said that prayer for the first time, I want you to lift your hand right where you are. Said that prayer for the first time. Never asked Jesus into your heart, but meant it with your heart and lips out loud. You meant it. Just lift your hand right where you are. Thank you, Lord. Those listening online, thank you for joining us. Contact the church. Contact the church. Let us know you got saved. Hallelujah. It doesn't stop there, church. There's healing. There's wholeness. We just dealt with sin. There's another side to the redemptive work of Christ, and that's healing. That's why in communion there's wine or juice and bread. His body was broken so you could be healed. If you need healing in your body, healing in your mind, healing in your emotions, you can receive today by faith. Jesus died for you to deliver you. To deliver you not only from sin, but from sickness and disease. Psalms 103. It's a benefit. He took our sicknesses, bore our diseases. Every head bow, every eye closed. If you have pain in your body, just lift your hand right where you are. Pain in your body. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you mean business with God, and I want you to come forward. All those that raise your hand, I want you to come forward. Just come up here. The usher will be here to help you. God's going to touch your body right now. You're not going to leave here the same way you came. The Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Amen. Amen. If you mean business with God and you want healing in your body, come on up here. There's many of you that raised your hand. By coming up here, you're exercising your faith. Faith without works is dead. If you mean business with God, he's going to touch your body. I believe that because that's his word. It's not me. It's God. This side's fine too. Hallelujah. We'll never keep anybody from being made whole. You can face forward. Ushers, help them out. Help them out, ushers. Hallelujah. God is a good God. He's a real God. There's healing in him. I give a little bit of time. Anybody else? Those that are whole and sitting at their seat, you can just lift your hand, put your hands forward. That's in faith, believing God. Those that are seated. Those that are up here, just lift your hands. It's surrender. It's trusting in God. You're saying, you know what? I'm going to press into God, just like the woman with the issue of blood. Touch the hem of his garment. You're going to feel the presence of God. When I lay hands on you, you're going to feel the presence of God. Enter your body, heal your body in Jesus' name. Because his word says that. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You may not feel whole. You may not feel perfect. That's why you're up here. But the perfect one can heal your body. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands. Jesus' name. Touch them now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Healing from the top of his head to the soles of his feet in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Healing. Thank you.